You would this morning take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. We are coming up, this is the Sunday just preceding July the 4th. Next Sunday will be the 4th, and this is a holiday that as Americans we certainly should thank the Lord for our country. And so this morning and also next Sunday, I want to try to bring a couple of messages along the line of our patriotism, along the line of what we should do, how we should live for the Lord and live for the things that God has given to us. And next Sunday night, which will be July the 4th night, I've got a portion of a video that I want to share with you, and so we'll try to do that next Sunday night, just on some things about our heritage as a Christian nation, as a godly nation, and there's a lot of things and a lot of controversy in our country over godliness and how that the Lord played a role in the first part of our country. But certainly when you see the things that are in our nation's written letters and written documents, we do know that our forefathers, our founding fathers, certainly did appreciate an almighty God. And we need to keep that before us, and because the world is trying to rob that, and generations to come where we would not have truth concerning that. And so next Sunday night, we'll probably try to show that portion of that video concerning our heritage that we have as a nation. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 1 this morning, says the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hilkiah. And it came to pass in the month of Shishlu in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments, let thine ear now be attentive unto thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here we find this is a man, Nehemiah, that is truly concerned about his country. Not only was he concerned, but he was willing to do something about it. The word patriot just simply means it's a person that is zealously loves his country and is loyal to it. I believe if you could see anything about Nehemiah, you would find here that he was a patriot, that he loved his country, Israel, He loved Judah. He loved the people of God. And he understood that there was problems in his nation. When we think of patriots in our country, we think of men like George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and hundreds and thousands of others that their name could be given, that who loyally supported and who loyally were able to supply and to do the things that was needed in order for their country during peace or even during war. One man can do a lot, but many men can do many things. There are those that are willing to serve and willing to give, and our country is engaged in a war now that is not a war against any particular country, but it's a war against an idea. It's a war against a thought of one that is trying to harm and trying to destroy the freedoms that we have. We as Christians today, we certainly should be strong patriots, but first and foremost, we should be strong patriots toward our heavenly home, that one day we are going to our country that is far beyond where we are now. There are patriots mentioned in the Bible. There are people like Samson and David that were fiercely loyal to Israel and were willing to give of themselves and even give of their lives. They are not without sin. They are not without their own weaknesses, but they were loyal to their country and loyal to their God when the times got rough. Here we find our scripture this morning. We read of one of my favorite men of the Bible, and this man named Nehemiah. He is a man that was a person that had understanding of what had taken place. He has a group, his brethren, come back, and he asks them, "How's my country?" We must remember that because of sin, Israel, which is the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom, they were carried off into captivity because God brought judgment upon them. After 70 years of captivity, permission was given to some of them to return back to the land to rebuild their temple under the King Cyrus, king of Persia. We go to the story, when we pick up the story here of Nehemiah, we find that not everything has been completed that should have been. The walls are down, they're burned. Therefore, there was no protection to the people, and the enemies of Israel could come to them and break their bonds very quickly, because walls in the Old Testament around the city was the only protection that they had. And so Nehemiah hears about the condition, and God begins to move upon him, and God begins to show him the need that is there. And the scripture says there that when he heard of that great affliction and that great reproach, that he mourned certain days and fasted, and he prayed. Now the last thing that is told here about in verse number 11 of chapter 1 is that Nehemiah says, "I was the king's cupbearer." Now we find here that this man being a cupbearer meant that he was pretty high up in the authority. Here he is, he's a slave, he's a captive, but he has been placed in a position of protection of that king of whom he served under. And so he is a cupbearer. He is one that had ability to go to the king. And you could go on and read chapter 2. The king recognizes the countenance has been changed. This cupbearer, his position was one that he held a place. He always would taste the food. He would always drink the water. And he would be a protector of the king. And the king recognized that Nehemiah's countenance was changed. And his countenance was sad because of the news that he'd heard from his country. I'll tell you what, of you and I this morning, our countenances and our sadness ought to be because of what we hear that is going around, the things that are taking place in the nation that we love, that we call America. America has many, many problems, and I know not what the cure is. It could be very well the cure is the same thing that Nehemiah did. He just called upon God and he prayed. But we find that our country this morning is under besiege, and I believe our walls are broken down. I'm afraid our walls are burned, and our protection has been lessened so very, very much. But we find here that this man, Nehemiah, the life that he lived, we will find that he had some things going for him that would help him to serve not only the Lord, but to serve his country. First of all, he was concerned about his nation. He was concerned about the people that they call Jews. He was one of those, when one of those brethren came to him and gave him a report of the condition of his hometown, he became very, very sad. It seems as though many people didn't maybe care, but Nehemiah had care. Nehemiah was concerned about what was going on around him and around of what of his own people. We live in a society today that, for the most part, many, many people just do not care. They don't want to take the time. They don't want to take the initiative. They just sort of go with the flow. But they can do everything they want to do that is pleasing to them, but don't get in their way when it comes to doing something that's right or something that takes a stand. People literally, most times, just do not want to be counted. Oh, you can go to ball games and they'll play the national anthem, and the biggest thing that you hear at the end of it is when everybody applauds. But very few people, many times, will not even put their hand over their heart. And so we find there's a disintegrating effect that has come about upon us, and holidays like July the 4th and Thanksgiving and even the other holidays that we have that's in connection with our country and the protection and the care that God has given to us is nothing more any more than just a time for a party or a time for a good time. Very little is said about the goodness and the grace and the protection of God upon us. And so I find that we may live in a time and an era such as Nehemiah. Nehemiah, when he heard this, he became very concerned. The question that he asked, he says in verse number 2, he said, "I asked them concerning the Jews and those that were left. I asked them about Jerusalem." And the word that he got back certainly was not a pretty one, and it was not one that he hoped to hear. Because they told him, "The walls are broken. The gates are burned. People are in disarray. There's reproach and there's affliction everywhere." And so all of a sudden it stirred up the emotion of Nehemiah, and he began to care because his people and his city and his nation was in reproach. In verse number 4, we find out what he did. First of all, the Bible says that he sat down. When he heard the message of the disarray, he sat down. The Bible says he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. He had a real concern for his country. He had a real concern for the things that were lacking in the nation and the city. The moral state of our country today is at the lowest point that I can remember. And I'm sure maybe the lowest point that's ever been, because thousands have been, of the unborn have been murdered, and traditional family is becoming obsolete, and God's been taken out of everything from school to government now to you can't even mention homosexual is called an alternate lifestyle, and there's very few people that go to church like they should go to church. Now there's some that go and just nominally, but I'm talking about folks that are faithful to God. Whether or not you understand, whether or not you believe it, whether or not you realize it, America is in a spiritual decline. It does not matter what the news reports give us of how many people call themselves Christian. It does not matter what the newspaper or the magazine articles might say that we are a nation that is becoming more spiritual. But spiritually, this morning, America is bankrupt. And we are lacking so very many things on the things of the Lord. What should we do? We should do as Nehemiah. I believe we ought to care enough to pray. I believe we ought to care enough to weep. I believe we ought to care enough to fast, or care enough to mourn. Very few people are willing to do that because it breaks their lifestyle, because it changes and that it leaves them out of, puts them in a realm where they're not comfortable. And we all want to stay in our comfort zone, but I'll tell you what, our comfort zone may be what's killing us. We need to realize that God wants us to understand where we are in our country, and that God calls us to do some things, and I believe He calls us to care about the things of God and to repent of our sin and to cry unto the Lord. We are to have concern for what God has given to us. America did not just happen, and America has not just remained what she is up until this point just by chance, but I believe God's protective hand has been upon us and our leaders, and God has blessed us abundantly and more than any other country. And for the most part, many people are just simply unconcerned. What would happen to America? What would happen to Americans if we had to live like most people in the world today? You see, we have it far better than anybody else. I don't understand the reasoning behind some of the thoughts that say America is such a terrible nation, but yet they enjoy all the blessings that come from being an American. They talk about people having too much money, but yet they have more than they can stand and more than they can give and more than they would ever give to anyone else. Americans have become very selfish and self-righteous and say, that would never happen to us. But I dare say if God would bring judgment upon His own people, God would bring judgment upon a people that's been grafted in. America is in a place where that we certainly need to have concern for our country. America is a country that has backed off and turned their back and continually goes against what we know is right according to God's Word. And by the way, this is always true. This is what matters. So Nehemiah was concerned. I believe we need to be concerned. Nehemiah cried unto God. He didn't go to the king, he went to God. Now the king came to him later. I believe the king came to him because he first went to God and brought his petition and gave out to what exactly is needed. America needs people that will go to God. Nehemiah, when he had a burden, he went right to the Lord. Abraham Lincoln made the statement, he says, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of those about me seemed insufficient for the day. We find that there is a time that we must go to God. Verse number 5, the Scripture says, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. He was distressed, he was burdened, he was concerned, but he did not forget who he was talking to. He did not forget that it was God that was the God that held everything in the palm of His hand. He worshiped God, pointing out that God was a covenant-keeping God. And by the way, covenant just means promise. And every promise that God's ever made to you and every promise that God's ever made to me or every promise that God's made to the church, every promise that God's made to the world, He will keep that promise. And Nehemiah said, you're a covenant-keeping God. You're a God that cares. He worshiped the Lord. And what needs would help us of our worship? Psalm 113, verse 3 says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Who's like Him? I'll tell you what, is none of the others that you might name. There's no one like our God. And the psalmist says, from the rising of the sun and the going down of the same, His name is to be praised. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise. Here the Scripture calls praise the sacrifice, that which we give unto Him. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, thanks to His name. And so we find that we are to be one that would cry unto the Lord, first of all, in worship and thanksgiving. And Nehemiah asked God to hear his prayer in verse number 6. He said, Lord, hear, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open. Lord, would you not put attention on our prayer? Would you not put attention upon our need? Nehemiah's prayer was based upon the promises of God. In verse number 8, he says, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word thou commandest." God, remember what you said. And I'll tell you what, when you remind God of what He says, God's going to move upon what He said. He says, "I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, if thy transgress I will scatter you." Verse 9, "But if you turn to me and keep my commandments," then he says, "I will gather you." And so Nehemiah said, "God, you've told us that if we turn away from you, you would scatter us, but you've also told us that if we call upon you and we come to you, you'd gather us again, once again." So Nehemiah called upon the remembrance of God upon his own words and to understand that God would fulfill that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Now that's the Word of God. That's true. If we ask anything in His will, He heareth us. The word "anything" means, guess what? It means anything. And if we ask it in His will. Now, I'm not talking about foolish things. I'm not talking about asking amiss. I'm not talking about asking for foolish, unnatural things. I'm talking about asking God in the will of God, and God will hear us. He says, "He heareth us." Verse number 15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." If God hears us, if God notices us, God can give to us exactly the needs of our soul. How many times and how many people in this building this morning could raise their hand and say, "There have been times when God delivered me and God gave me just exactly what I asked Him to give." Thank the Lord for that. Why? Because we ask in His will, and He gave us the petitions of our heart. He gave us the needs of our soul. So Nehemiah was concerned and Nehemiah cried. Nehemiah saw what was happening around him and he was concerned about it. But he didn't do anything except, first of all, go to God. And say, "God, You know where we are. You know our needs." And in that prayer, Nehemiah confessed his sin. He tells us in verse number 6, latter part, last part of it, "Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded." Nehemiah confessed his sin, not only personally, but his own family. I imagine Nehemiah understood Psalm 66:18 that says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I have iniquity, if I regard it, if I look at it and don't do anything about it, God's not going to hear my prayer. But I'm sure now Nehemiah has come to the point, "God, I've sinned and my family have sinned and we've dealt corruptly." I mean, Nehemiah was a man of God. He was a prophet of God, but yet he was a man of like passions. He's a man of sins, just like David and other great men had their sins in their lives. So Nehemiah confessed his own sin. Nehemiah confessed the sins of his father. Nehemiah confessed the sins of his nation. I believe this morning if a few Christians would get on their knees before God and confess their sin and their family's sin, and then go ahead and confess the nation's sin, God might hear our prayers in certain areas and God might give deliverance in certain ways. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess the sins of our nation and family, we are owning up to the fact that we have no right, we have no merit, we have nothing that we can fall upon except the mercy of God. And that's where God desires for us to be. We are acknowledging our total failure. Most people don't want to be a failure. Nobody wants to be a failure. But when it comes to our walk with God, I'm afraid so many times we are total failures. Oh, we can go to church and we can put on the church clothes and we can look like a Christian and we can talk like a Christian and we can walk like, we can act like, but in our heart we can be far from God and we're sinning in the sight of the Lord. And God wants us to confess that. Nehemiah confessed his sin. We need to acknowledge our need of God's mercy and our need of God's grace. We need to acknowledge that if God doesn't deliver us, there will be no deliverance. The deliverance is not in politics. I know we hear a lot today about the November elections. There's no deliverance in that. The deliverance is in God. The deliverance is in from a spiritual realm, not a physical realm. Deliverance is in that which comes from the Lord. And if we as believers of Christ, if we as Christians are going to be delivered from all the things that's around us, and if God doesn't change some things in our country is shot and it's gone down the tubes. And we can sit by and watch. But God can deliver. I don't know if God will do a national deliverance or not, but boy, God could deliver my home and God can deliver your home. God can deliver my kids and your kids and grandkids. God can deliver those whom we know and those that are closely affected by the things that we know. God can help us. And God does that in enough places, it'll make a difference in a nation. He confessed his sin. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. The word then is only after all that confession. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And then it says, heal their land. Nehemiah, I believe, was a patriot because he had concern for his nation. He cried out to God. He confessed his sin. And he chose to get involved. It has been said, and this statement has been attributed to many different people. I tried to search it out as to who really made this statement, and I don't know. Doesn't matter who made it. The principle of the statement is correct. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. All that is necessary for evil to have victory is for good people to do nothing. Nehemiah chose to get involved. Nehemiah said, there's something that I can do. Verse number 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and to prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Who's he talking about? He's a cupbearer. God, would you give me permission in the sight of this man to go do something about it? If you read chapter 2, you'll find that the king came to him and he noticed something different. It says, why is thy countenance sad? You're not sick. Verse 2. This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Nehemiah says, then I was sore afraid. And then the king said, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste? And the gates thereof are consumed with fire. And the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? Why, he hadn't made a request. And the king said, what are you going to request? And Nehemiah, the next part of that verse, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah not only was praying and concerned about his country, but now he's praying he's going to be involved. He's going to do something. He's going to get involved with what's taking place and how that God could use him. He was ready to go before the king and to get what he could and do what he could. He realized he needed God's help and to realize that he had a personal responsibility. My city lies in waste and I need to do something about it. Why shouldn't I be sad? Why shouldn't we be sad this morning when we see what's taking place in our country? When we see the infidels and the God deniers and the God haters having control, why shouldn't we be sad? Why shouldn't our countenance change? When we see our country literally being dismantled before our eyes, what we know of as truth and righteousness. All that we have to do is do nothing. And evil men will triumph. He gets permission from his king to go, and in a few short days, everything is cleared up in Jerusalem. Why? Because Nehemiah took the initiative to get involved. How do we get involved? How do we do that? How does a Christian get involved? How do we make a difference? Stand for righteousness. Stand for truth. If you have emails, send out emails. You say, oh, it doesn't do any good. It won't do any good if you don't do it. When I was being trained how to be a salesman, when you don't ask somebody, you might as well say no for them, because when you don't ask them, you don't give them the opportunity to say yes. So if you don't send out something, if you don't write a letter, if you don't make a phone call, you're not involved. Well, I'm not going. It doesn't do any good. Oh, but it has done some good in certain areas. May God help us to get involved. You may not like this, but I say you ought to get involved and vote the bums out. I'll vote some more in, but we'll vote them out later. We still do have the privilege. We still do have the right that most countries and most people in the world do not have, is to make a difference. Well, my vote don't count. Well, it does count. And I'm not saying be a political activist. You know better than that. I'm saying get involved in things to help our country. Where does it start? It starts right here. Get involved. We can involve ourselves in every case, one way or another. Just be willing. Nothing else to pray. I wonder how many pray for our country. I wonder how many pray for one another. I wonder how many pray, just, oh God, would you not help us? When we hear, I wish I took time and just wrote some things down. When we hear, just headlines, it ought to make us sad. When we hear that the abortionists win a victory, it ought to make us sad. When we hear the anti-God group has a victory, it ought to change our countenance. When we hear that the Bible is made fun of, and it ought to make us sad. When I hear government officials say words that I wouldn't want my children or grandchildren to hear, it ought to make us sad. Somebody was talking to me, they said, can't even let my kids listen to the president talk because of his language. That ought to make us sad. Ought to get involved. May God help us to be concerned for our country. May God help us to cry out. May He help us to confess. May He help us to get involved. Nothing will change until God helps us. Let's stand together this morning. Next Sunday we celebrate the Declaration of Independence being signed. A few years later our Constitution being written. It all sadden our heart when we see all those things being trampled underfoot. It ought to make us sad when we hear elected officials saying the Constitution doesn't matter. I tell you what, if it doesn't matter, just hold on, because they come after us next. If it doesn't matter in one issue, it won't matter in another. Now, the Constitution is not the inspired Word of God, but I believe it was inspired of God. I believe it was given by direction of the Lord. Not the same as inspiration of the Word of God, but God gave those men certain abilities that nobody else has had. I'd hate for that crowd today to write one. We better be concerned. We better pray. Better cry. Better get involved. What number?
Number 7.